while I'm preaching to you, if somebody has spoken to you and somebody has twisted your mind, or your heart is full of sin, bitterness, anger, resentment towards somebody, if you're messing with pornography, if you're messing with some lust and adulterous habits and behavior, if you have pride in your heart, if that's what's happening in you, what I'm saying to you is going to get more and more confusing. But if your heart is open to the things of God, and you come in this morning and say, God, work in my heart, it'll be crystal clear. It's like, why don't they get it? I don't understand why they can't get it. I don't understand what's wrong with them. The parables were Jesus' tools, simple stories. A sower went out to sow. The good Samaritan. The lost coin. Simple stories. And the Pharisees were going, I don't get it. The scribes were like, I don't either. Sadducees, I think we're going to get killed because of this. Jesus' family, can we just go home? Because you're embarrassing us. And the disciples, the multitudes, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the blind, the mute, the demon-possessed are saying, wow, this is God. God speaking to us. Hey, listen. This matters.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Heart Exam by Pastor Abadon Shaw of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our goal is simple, making Christ visible in everything we do, from our church to our families and even in our community. We'd love for you to come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
When the kids were young, we bought them a toy doctor's kit. Anybody here did that with your kids? Gave them, a little thermometer and a blood pressure cuff and a stethoscope and syringe and all that. They would walk around taking our temperature, checking our blood pressure, trying to listen to our heartbeat. And it was all pretend. It was all fun. And then once in a while, we would take it from them. We said, let me check your heart. And we would pretend we can hear their heart. Oh, your heart sounds good. It sounds great. Now, we all knew, and you know as well, it was all pretend. It was all fun and games. I mean, I would never do that at a cardiologist. Let me check your heart. We wouldn't do that. Why? Because it's real. It is a real checkup. This is not pretend. This morning's message is not a pretend heart exam. This is the real deal. This morning we begin our first message in this series on the parables. It's a very important series. I've been praying about it. Many of y'all have asked me again and again about when we're going to start, and it's been some time, but today is the day. And we begin with a heart exam, because that is the heart of the parables. What is it all about? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 10, and let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. Now keep in mind, as we examine our hearts, our spiritual hearts, the stethoscope is the Word of God, the Scriptures. The medical examiner is the Holy Spirit, not me. And the goal, what should your heart be like? The goal is the heart of the disciple of Jesus Christ. And this is very important. Again, I want to emphasize to you how critical it is to have this spiritual heart exam, because a physical heart exam can determine how long you will live. A spiritual heart examination determines if you are alive. Are you truly alive spiritually? So let's begin. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, to Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? Right there is laid out for us our first message in the series. Why did Jesus speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, this is very important, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand. Seeing, you will see and shall not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. We're going to stop there. The hearts of this people have grown dull. The reason behind the parables was the hearts of the people had grown dull. This is our first message in this series on the parables of Jesus. It's an introductory message in which we're going to try to answer the question the disciples asked Jesus, which is, why do you speak to them in parables? We tend to think that the parables were stories that Jesus gave to make his message clearer. For example, I stood up here. Did you notice I didn't just start reading the passage? I gave you a little story. It's just a way to connect. As some of you may not need that story, some people like it. So we think that parables were simply stories Jesus said to explain a doctrine, to explain some teaching, nothing more than that. But that's not altogether true. Listen to what he said in verse 11. Once again, he said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Before we unpack this verse, we need to first identify two groups of people that Jesus addresses in that verse. The first group is the you. The you are the ones who understand the teachings of Jesus, but then there is another group, which is the them. The them is the group who seems to have a disconnect. They don't seem to get it. So who are the you? Let's begin with that, and then who are them? And the information regarding the identity of these two groups of people is in the surrounding chapters. If you read Matthew 9, 10, 11, 12, it'll help you understand. And even chapters 14, 15, you're going to understand who the you and the them are. So let's begin. Who is the you that Jesus was talking to? Jesus is at the center. Who are the you? The you, first and foremost, are the disciples of Jesus. You remember, the disciples came to him and said, Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? So begin with, the disciples are the primary audience of Jesus who seem to be getting it. But who else is there? The tax collectors and the prostitutes. In Matthew 9:11, it says, when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and prostitutes? These were two groups that were the lowest when it comes to the sin problem. The tax collectors were taking advantage of the people, making the Romans happy and making a buck at the same time. The prostitutes, of course, you know what they did. And so these are the people who seem to be getting it. They were close to Jesus. Another group were the multitudes. In Matthew 12, 15, it says, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Another group are the multitudes. Who are the multitudes? These are people who were hanging on his every word. They were seeing every miracle. They were understanding what Jesus was teaching them. But it's not just them. It was also the demon-possessed. I mean, I don't care for scary movies. Imagine demon-possessed people coming to Jesus and he is setting them free. And not just demon-possessed people, but the blind, because he is giving them sight, but it's more than that. He's giving them spiritual sight. They are there too. The mute. They can't speak, but Jesus is setting them free, and now they are, singing praises to his name. This group of people were surrounding Jesus, and they were getting what he was saying. And what's more, it says in verse 12, listen to this, whoever has, to him more will be given. They were getting it, and since they were getting it, more was being given to them. But there's another group who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Who is this group, the second group? Jesus calls them simply the them or him. Who are we talking about? Well, these are first and foremost the Pharisees. These are people we know repeatedly had an encounter, not a good one, with Jesus. In Matthew 12, verse 2, when the Pharisees saw it, what did they see? They saw Jesus, his disciples, eating grain in the field. When they saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath." They were constantly finding faults with Jesus and his disciples. In Matthew 12, 14, then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him as to how they might destroy him. They wanted to kill him. In Matthew 12, 24, now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." Means this is a group of people that were also around Jesus, but they constantly doubted him, they berated him, and wanted to kill him. Now, who were the Pharisees? If you've been here on Wednesday nights, you know the Pharisees were a movement of lay people who were trying to live a pious life. They had their own set of rules and traditions. They advocated a simple lifestyle. They were popular with the common people because they were always there to help them out. They loved them, and the Pharisees loved it that the people loved them. They emphasized what's known as table fellowship. Those from Wednesday night, you know where I'm going with that. Table fellowship means this. They called on all the Jewish people. They called on all the Jewish people to live according to the priestly laws. See, God had a certain set of regulations for the priests. They were to be holier. They were to be more separate. They had a high standard. What the Pharisees did, they said every Jewish person should be like a priest. Folks, how many would agree with that? I mean, is that what we want to do? Don't just have your Christianity at church. Be the same outside. Be the same pious outside in your homes, in your personal lives. Maintain the same standard of righteousness. So these people, they treated their tables at home, their dining tables at home, as the altar in the temple. Every household was held responsible, and that's why the meals had to be carefully prepared. You had to even tithe off the meals. Remember Jesus said, you tithe out of mint and cumin and anise and all this stuff. Why did Jesus say that? Because they would even tithe out of the vegetables as they would prepare the meal. Why was the meal so important? Because they believed, are y'all listening? They believed that what you put inside your body is very important because it purifies you. So if you put impure food in your body, you're going to be impure inside. If you put good food, purified food, food with all that has met all the regulations of the Old Testament, oh, you're going to be pure inside. And it also matters who you eat with. How many of y'all have said that to your kids? It matters who you hang out with. The Pharisees said it matters. It matters who you eat food with. You need to be pure. You need to be separate. You need to be distinct. What did Jesus say? It's not what goes inside your mouth that purifies you, because what you put inside your mouth, let's not be gross, but what happens to it? You get it, right? But what comes out of your heart is what matters. And it doesn't matter who you sit with, because Jesus sat with who? Tax collectors and prostitutes. And he ate, and the Pharisees had a tough time with that. And because they allowed their righteousness to get in the way, they could never understand what Jesus was teaching. We come to that in just a few moments. Who is the second group of them? The second group were the scribes. The scribes. Now, who were the scribes? The scribes also hated Jesus. Listen to what it says in Matthew 9, verse 3. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." When Jesus was preaching, they were also always pointing finger at him and saying, how dare he make himself out to be God? Matthew 12, 38, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered saying, teacher, which they really didn't mean, they were just being kind of, you know, sarcastic, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. They were constantly looking for signs, but they really didn't want any sign. They just wanted to trip Jesus. Well, who were the scribes? The scribes were people who interpreted and taught the law to the people. Pharisees were common people. They may have some education. They may be wealthy. They may be poor. But the scribes knew the details of the Torah. Scribes knew the details of the purification laws and the rituals and the traditions and the sacrifices, how to do certain things on certain days. People would go to the scribes and say, hey, you know, we just had a newborn and we want to go and sacrifice in the temple. Can you explain, help us out? What exactly do we need to do? Because let's say we have twins. So do we need to have double sacrifice or single? And the scribes would say, all right, have a seat. We'll explain to you. And then when it's done, you would pay the scribe and you would bow and say, thank you so much. You are so knowledgeable. And the scribes loved it. And Jesus pointed that out. These scribes love to walk in public places wearing long robes. And they like it when people bow to them and say, oh, this is Mr. Scribe here. Oh, he is so knowledgeable. He knows the Bible. How many folks do you know right now who know the Bible cover to cover? I can't stand that when people say that. I always want to know, I mean, is the maps included in there? I mean, how do you know cover to cover? Concordance too? Folks, no one knows the Bible cover to cover unless it's Jesus Christ. Amen. But these were the scribes who knew the Bible cover to cover. But when it came to Jesus, they hated him. Why did they hate him? It's one word. It's called envy. Envy. Because when he taught with authority. And guess what the people did? They would say, the heck with you, scribe. We're going after him. He has far more knowledge, and he teaches with authority. And the scribes, again, just like the Pharisees, rejected Jesus. Who was the third group? The third group were the Sadducees. Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees are also mentioned, but not as much as the Pharisees and the scribes. In Matthew 16, verse 1, it says, then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and tested him and asked him that he would show them a sign from heaven. That's kind of ironic because the Sadducees were, I would call them, theological liberals. They didn't believe in many miracles. They didn't even believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe that there is a life on the other side, the immortality of the soul. They didn't believe any of that. They even had trouble believing in the spirit, in angels. But when it came to Jesus, they're like, hey, are you a Pharisee? I don't know, problem. Let's go ask him if he can give us a sign. Come on. Let's both go. They hated Jesus as well. Listen to Matthew 22, 23. It says, the same day the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him and asked him a question. You know, it was a seven brothers marry a single woman, you know, and then whose wife she will be on the other side. And, you know, they're just trying to trick Jesus into saying something dumb. Who were the Sadducees? The Sadducees claimed, and there is no proof for that, but they claimed that they were of the priestly descent. Pharisees, common people, not necessarily priests. Scribes, scholars. Sadducees, oh, my great-great-great-granddaddy was a priest, and his granddaddy was a priest. But there is no proof, but they would claim that. They controlled the temple. They were the ones who were the high priests, the chief priests. Unlike the Pharisees, they didn't believe in the resurrection, as I mentioned to you, and the Bible says it too. They didn't believe in a hell on the other side. They didn't believe that there are rewards waiting for us. The Sadducees were not very popular with the people. Pharisees, popular. Scribes, very honored. Sadducees, people didn't like them, but the Romans loved them because they maintained peace. P peace in the temple, peace among the people. Hey, look, we got to get along. Let's kind of work together. Those were the Sadducees. Listen, they were the deal makers. Did they like Jesus? No, because Jesus wouldn't make a deal with them. He was disrupting the power balance. You're going to get us killed. The Romans are going to come and destroy the temple. Why are you saying these things? Why are you rousing the people? They didn't like Jesus either. But there's a fourth group that is mentioned. It may kind of shock you. But we're going to see why that group is important. This group was Jesus' family. Jesus' family. This is the fourth group of people. Listen to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 46. It's on the screen, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 46. While he was still talking to the multitudes, his inner circle, while he's still talking to people who are listening to him, behold, his mother. This is Mary. This is the one who got the visit from the angel. This is the one who sang the beautiful song, the Magnificat. This is Mary. She comes, and his brothers, his half-brothers through Joseph, stood outside. They didn't come inside to listen to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Pharisees, I can understand. Scribes, I can understand. Sadducees, I can understand. Why would Jesus' own family not come in to listen to him? Well, let's go a little further. They stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, one of Jesus' disciples said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. That's very important. They didn't want to come inside and listen to what Jesus was doing. In their minds, their oldest son had lost his mind. He's going around claiming to be God. He's healing people. I don't know how he's doing all that. Wait a minute. Mary, didn't you get a visit from the angels? Don't you remember what happened? How you got pregnant through the Holy Spirit? Don't you remember, Mary, that this was the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us? No, she forgot. And she's standing outside with his brothers. And the disciples says to Jesus, hey, look, they're waiting for you. Do you want to go talk to them? Listen to Jesus' response. I love this. Matthew 12, 48. He answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Wow. Now, I can understand this group and that group and this group. What was their problem? Their problem was this. They were embarrassed of him. Their problem was this. They were excessively familiar with Jesus. I mean, Jesus grew up in our house. He was there. When we lost him at the temple, he was a teenager. He helped his dad, whatever, whatever. We know who he is. And we don't think he is who he claims to be. Folks, these four groups of people were not evil. They were what you would call church-going folks, but their hearts were not open to what Christ was teaching. Listen again to verse 13, very important. Therefore, Jesus said, I speak to them in parables. Who is them? Are y'all still awake, listening? Who is them? The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, and his own family. That's what Jesus says, therefore I speak to them in parables. Why? Why do you speak to them in parables? Because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, this is very important, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Now, what was the prophecy of Isaiah? During Isaiah's time, same thing had happened. There were people who were listening to what God was saying, but they were not getting it. their hearts had become dull. What Jesus is saying is, the same thing that happened in the time of Isaiah is happening now with the Pharisees, with the scribes, with the Sadducees, and with my own family members. Hearing, listen to this, verse 14, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and shall not perceive, for the hearts of the people have grown dull. While I'm preaching to you, if somebody has spoken to you and somebody has twisted your mind, or your heart is full of sin, bitterness, anger, resentment towards somebody, if you're messing with pornography, if you're messing with some lust and adulterous habits and behavior, if you have pride in your heart, if that's what's happening in you, what I'm saying to you is going to get more and more confusing. But if your heart is open to the things of God and you come in this morning and say, God, work in my heart, It'll be crystal clear. It's like, why don't they get it? I don't understand why they can't get it. I don't understand what's wrong with them. The parables were Jesus' tools, simple stories. A sower went out to sow. The good Samaritan. The lost coin. Simple stories. And the Pharisees were going, I don't get it. The scribes were like, I don't either. Sadducees, I think we're going to get killed because of this. Jesus' family, can we just go home? Because you're embarrassing us. And the disciples, the multitudes, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the blind, the mute, the demon-possessed are saying, wow, this is God. God speaking to us. Hey, listen, this matters. And if your heart is closed off, You know, some people go to a church, and they always have a better church they know of, right? It's like, I love, but it's just a church here. And if you have that kind of an attitude, you won't ever get anything out of this. If you are mad at somebody in the church, you won't get anything out of it. If you are disobeying God, if you are not tithing, I'll even put that in there. If your pocketbook is still stuck to you and you can't give, This will be just gibberish. That's why people can walk down the aisle and give their hearts to Jesus or sit over there and pray. Some of y'all going, I don't know what exactly is making them do that. I don't get it. Oh, God is working. Apparently, there's a blockage. Apparently, there's a dullness. So this morning, which group do you belong to? The ones who were close to Jesus and they were getting more and more of what he was saying, or the ones who were there but they still couldn't understand? What kind of a heart do you have?
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. The parables that Jesus used were a way to perform a heart exam on his listeners. If the content made sense to them, then their hearts were attuned to the things of God. But if the parables were confusing, their hearts were hardened, dull, unable to perceive spiritual things. What's the condition of your heart? Do the things of God make sense to you? Is your heart even beating? In order to have a spiritual heart that is alive, you need to first accept Christ as your Savior. If you haven't done so, do that today. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.